What's poppin'? Canada. Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options, I can pass that bitch like Stockton. Just joshin', I'ma spend this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10.
What's brackin'? Brand new whip, new mansion. Brand new tips, new dances. Same old dick, new magnum. Same old shit, new maggots. Same old throne, new dragons. Same old strong, new ashes. I can pass that bitch like magic. Yeah, I ain't capping, I'm lit, I'm active. Yeah, look, 5 in that bitch like Paxton. Yeah, I'm drowning this milk like Applejack. I sell a bitch dream, put tax on that. Look, slime in that bitch, that slap a slap. Oh, bomb press roll, that's black on black. Yeah, 99 problems, the bitch ain't one yet. Numbers don't lie, that's the aftermath. Yeah, what's poppin'? Brand new phone, just dropped it. Fuck it, I got options. I buzz down a couple Apple Watches. Hello? I can put the ball in the end zone.
What's up? What's good with it, everybody? We are back again for another episode of the Pick and Roll Podcast. And it's been a little minute, as always, but with this quarantine going on, man, it ain't really been easy for none of us. So before we get started, Sam, what's good, baby?
What's good, world? I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about the bubble, man. It ain't really much else to talk about with all of this stuff going on, man. All of these other sports getting canceled and whatnot. So let's just dive right into some bubble talk, man. What are some things that have really surprised you about the resumption of the season? Like, with life in the bubble, what's really stood out to you?
It's been a lot of different things, for real. We got some players that's playing at a high level. We got some teams that are looking like they really can make a run at a championship, like the Raptors, bro. I think that the Raptors, I think they coming out the East. I think they my favorite. I'm gonna go ahead and say that. I think that's who I got coming out the East.
Wow.
The way they defend as a team, I can't see anybody beating them in a 7-game series, man. They, even after taking off, 3 months?
Yeah.
4 months? They came back, no rest on the defensive end.
I mean, like,
their rotations, and it's the defense for me, for real. The way it's just it's flawless to me. That's a good team, man. Like, you ain't realize it last year because they had Kawhi Leonard, so you thinking that it's all him or majority him, but that's a good ass team right there, man.
Man,
that's a real good team.
They are, to me, the best coached team in basketball. Their coach has them playing at an extremely high level. I think the biggest thing with them is their chemistry. Like, you can tell that they really have chemistry. Like, this is a team. I mean, if we being honest, all of the other teams, maybe outside of the Bucks, but all of the other teams that are really, like, I guess, poised to make a run at the championship this year, all of them have, like, guys who have never really played together. This Raptors team has been together for a while. These guys have been intact for a while, so they have a lot of chemistry out there. And like you said, just little things as far as the way that they defend the ball, it shows. Like, it just shows. Like, you know your other players' weaknesses on the court. And you, like, I don't know, it's just weird, man. It's like they're not head and shoulders above anybody as far as talent goes. But just on that court, watching them in this bubble, I'm not going to say that they coming out the East, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Who you like out the East?
I like the Bucks, man. And it's not solely because of their ball club as a whole. I think that a lot of teams are going to benefit from the fact that you don't have to travel anywhere. Without having to travel in the playoffs, any given day can be a different game. So you're probably going to play every other day in the playoffs or something like that. Without you having to travel and all of that stuff, you get players like Giannis who can get in the groove and really dominate the entire series. Because there's nothing changing in a series. When location changes in the playoffs, a lot of players, you'll start to see their stats dip a little bit. And when they play on the road, they don't play quite as good as they played at home. The way that he's been playing in this bubble, as far as stats are concerned, he has the ability to single-handedly win a series. And along with that, Chris Middleton's been playing really well too. I think the biggest thing for them is that Chris Middleton takes a step this year. He's been playing well the last couple of years, but when it gets to the postseason, he does not seem to be that same guy. This year,
that's what I was about to say. If they beat the Raptors, it's not. I'm not saying that Giannis not going to ball out in that series.
It's
going
to have to be from somebody else.
It's going to have to be because of Chris Middleton. Even if Giannis, I don't think that Giannis's regular 30 a game or 30 and 12 that he averaged, that's not beating the Raptors. Like, somebody else is going to have to step up, because when they come down to it and they need a bucket, they're going to have Gasol or Ibaka or Siakam when Giannis making it tough for him. Somebody else is going to have to step up. I mean, maybe Middleton does, but I would be willing to bet that the Raptors coming out the East this year. I don't think that the Bucks could do it, and I think that Giannis is up out of there.
Ooh, now if that does happen to be the case, if they do happen to lose, then yeah, I can see Giannis leaving as well. But I just think that this is going to be the year that they take that leap and get past whoever they need to get past, whether it be the Raptors or anybody else, because I really don't see any other competition in that East outside of the Raptors. But like I said, I think Chris Middleton will be one of those guys that benefits from the fact of not having to travel. You get to sleep in the same bed every night. The routines that you go through daily to get yourself prepared for a game at home will be the same exact routines that he'll be able to do regardless of if he's on the road or not. There's nothing that's really changing as far as where you're playing. And with everybody being in that bubble, I feel like he's really going to benefit from that, because we've seen him in the playoffs have some decent games, mostly when he's at home. But on that road, my goodness, he's a different player. And I think that he's really going to be one of those guys that benefits from playing at the same location throughout the playoffs. But I think that that's going to be the case for a lot of teams, man, especially in that West. That West, I think it's going to get real crazy in the playoffs. And that's coming from a Laker fan who we've already sold up the number one spot in the West. And I'm still like, ugh. Each series, you just never know. If we see Dame and him in the first round, it's not going to be as easy as people expect it to be. I think that we'll probably definitely beat them, but it's not going to be easy.
I think so. I think that first round will be pretty easy for the Lakers. Just looking at the teams.
If it's the Grizzlies.
Who got the potential to make that. The Grizzlies ain't making it.
If it's them, that's a sweep. If it's the Spurs, that's a sweep. But
bro, y'all sweeping the Blazers too, bro.
The way that we've been playing in this bubble, I'm not so sure about that. I think
they don't have any defenders. Like, Dame could go out there and score 50 all he want, but when you come in the playoffs and you playing against LeBron and Anthony Davis, somebody going to have to be able to generate some stops, and they don't have a single guy on that roster that can do that.
That's for sure, but look at the way the Lakers have been playing, bro. The entire time that we've been in this bubble, we have yet to have a game where LeBron and Anthony Davis have both balled out in the same game. I don't know.
True. But the one thing about y'all is y'all going to defend. That's one thing about the Lakers that we know this year is y'all going to play some defense.
That's true. But where is our biggest weakness as far as defense is concerned? On that perimeter.
Yeah, the point guard spot. Like I said, Dame's going to have a great series against y'all.
I believe Dame will, and I also believe CJ McCollum will.
Yeah, but that's never enough. I'm just thinking about, like, what the Warriors did without KD to that Blazers team. I just feel like with two superstars like LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's not going to be a hard team to overcome. Regardless of how good they are offensively, they don't get enough stops. So they score a lot, but they give up a lot. So I don't think the Lakers would struggle with them. I don't think y'all would struggle with anybody who gets into that eighth spot. The Blazers, the Suns, or the Grizzlies. I think those matchups right there, y'all be fine. I don't think either one of any of those three teams win a game against the Lakers.
Yeah, well, I think that's what I was saying. I don't think it's going to be a struggle, but I do think that they will get one as far as the Trailblazers are concerned. Them other guys, I think it's a sweep. But, yeah, I don't know. And it's man, I'm telling you what. This bubble might have been the best thing to happen to basketball, because it's really about to show a lot of different facets of the game that we don't get to see typically in the playoffs. Guys that are just going to, like I said, I think that location is going to be extremely huge in this playoffs. When you don't got to travel, bro, like you were sleeping in the same bed that you normally get to sleep. Ain't nothing changing. Nothing's changing. So when you get a guy like anybody who's really been playing as good as they have in the bubble, it's not like it's going to change now, because you're not switching locations. You're still playing on the same course that you've been playing on. And while we're on that subject, man, I want to talk about some of the players that have really been going crazy in this bubble. The one that stands out to me the most is TJ Warren. What, like, what the fuck? Like, TJ Warren is nice. They're not going to take nothing from him. He can get a bucket. But him, throughout this bubble, he's been a madman out there. Like, I don't, oh my gosh.
He's averaging like 35 on like 65% shooting, 55% from three.
Bro, he's going crazy.
He on fire, man. He won't keep up this level of play forever, but I think that we are still seeing TJ Warren arrive as far as confidence and stuff like that. I think that his numbers are going to elevate. I don't think that he's going to like fade all the way into the darkness, but I mean, obviously he's not about to shoot 55% from three forever.
I sure as hell hope not.
Man, if he do that, man, he on some legend shit.
Right.
You got to think, even though it's only a 5-game sample size. So, I mean, guys have these type of stretches even in regular season, in regular years where you, a guy might just go off and go on the tangent for 5, 6, 7 games where he's just on fire. So we'll see with TJ Warren. But I do think that just by watching the games and the way he has been scoring, it's something that he can somewhat keep up. Like I said, obviously not the extremely high percentages, but I do think that TJ Warren has somewhat arrived. I always felt like he would be a little late bloomer. I didn't think he would be like a scorer. I thought he would be more like a 3-and-D type of guy. But I always knew when he first got drafted that he was going to be a guy that took a few years to come on. But I always felt like he was going to be a pretty good player in the league.
Yeah, see, I didn't think he was going to come on like this, man. Like, I figured he was going to have a solid, decent NBA career. Like, be bounced around a little bit. Maybe like a Trevor Ariza type guy. But goodness gracious, like, if he really keeps up this level of scoring, even if he doesn't keep up the percentages as far as how high his percentages are, he's going to be a scary guy.
The Pacers going to be a scary team, too, if he can keep up that level of shooting. And by next year, if they could add a couple more little pieces, because, I mean, they got a lot of shooters. They got Sabonis out there. Miles Turner can hit the three. Now you add TJ Warren. They got Brogdon.
They just can't stay healthy, dog. They got one of them teams where everybody on their roster seems to be hurt at a different time. Like, it's rare that you see all of them on the court together. And when that does happen, it's only for a short period of time because then somebody else gets injured. So it's hard to build up that chemistry like that.
They got TJ Leaf too, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they got a lot of shooters, bro. That could be a team here in the next couple of years who could be challenging some people in the East. But they still need – I still feel like they need a little piece or two. But with if TJ Warren keep this up, they definitely going to be closer to where they trying to get for sure.
Man, right now, if we being honest, the East is the perfect place to be because in these next few years, that East is going to be wide open. You can pretty much see how the West is starting to shape up. How it always is, but that East, it's wide open for somebody to come and take it because, like right now, the Bucks are the number one team over there, and they're not even head and shoulders over everybody, and it's not even a definite that Giannis is still going to be there.
He not. He coming to the
here
West.
Here he go. Where is he coming? The Golden State?
He is, bro. Man. I told you this a couple months ago.
You've been talking this for a long time.
All right. Watch. I'll be paying attention after these games, bro. Him and Steph. They be talking, bro. I'm telling you. And in these all-star games.
So I'm telling you. So Steph is tampering, is what you're telling me.
I mean, he ain't doing no more than what anybody else is. But yeah, I think that this year is going to be the deciding factor for Giannis's future. Now, if they make the finals and possibly win it, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think that's what he's waiting on. But if they don't win it this year, I think he's gone because, I mean, how much better can the Bucks get? Like, I mean, because no free agent is going to come to Milwaukee. So they got to get better through the draft or a trade. I don't see them being able to beef up that roster much more than what they have. So if they can't win with this, I think Giannis is going to leave.
I don't know. I mean, you make a good point. I'm not disputing anything you say because I honestly believe that his time is coming to an end there too. I feel the same way about Damian Lillard too, though. Like, I don't think he's going to be in Portland for too much longer because they can't really do much more to, I guess, make them much better. And they
ain't not going to leave, though, because he talked too much about the niggas who have left. He can't, if he were to, now, if Dame Lillard were to leave and go to another team now, he really looked like a sucker after all the shit he'd been talking about everybody else who's done it. If he turns around and does that shit, then he, yeah, that's going to look bad for him.
I think it would too, because he does, but I don't think he would go anywhere and team up with like a super team or anything like that. If he goes somewhere else, I think he's going to go to somewhere where he can contend just like he is now. But I think it's going to go somewhere where he's got a better chance of making it deeper. It might not be like, I don't think he's going to go team up with nobody like Braun or AD or any like super team like that. Like, I could see him like, I don't know. I could see something possibly potentially happening for like a trade with the Bucks, with them giving up Chris Middleton and something else and pulling in Dame and teaming up Dame with Giannis. I could see something
Dame
like
and
that.
Giannis would be fire.
And I don't think that would be any, that's not something, that's not crazy. Like, I feel like he could do that and still save face without it being similar to what the other guys are doing. But
I think if they bring Giannis to him, then that's cool. But what he just said to Paul George the other day about them running from the grind, I think that no matter where he goes, that would be what he
– Or
– It would be running from the grind.
Or I could see him going to Philly in the Ben Simmons trade and him and Embiid being together. I could see something like that.
That would benefit both parties. That would benefit both teams.
I agree. And speaking of Ben Simmons, man, whew, what does that injury mean for Philly? Like – Obviously, it means that it's pretty much over for them as far as the offseason is or postseason is concerned, especially with Embiid getting hurt in the game yesterday. But, I mean, his injury may not be that serious. But even with that being said, I think that holds a lot of weight moving forward, man. I think that we may have seen Ben Simmons for the last time in a Philly uniform.
Me too. And whoever gets him is going to be one lucky team. Especially if they got a good GM who know what they're doing. Because clearly that Philly GM don't know what they're doing. Why is there not 100 shooters on that roster?
They let all of them shooters go. Like, they had the recipe to start with, and them niggas not there no more.
Like, you don't have – for one, you don't have a big man like Joel Embiid without having tons of shooting around him to make it hard to double. And then for two, you got a 6'10 point guard who won't even shoot a three ball to save his life. So he needs shooters around him as well. And you surrounding them by defenders. Like, what? I mean, I get that you want to be a long, lengthy defensive team, but
you can't
that
score
obviously
them
isn't helping. Yeah, it's not helping you, especially in the playoffs, because now you don't know what you want to. You can barely play Ben and B together in the playoffs because the guys that you got out there around them allows you to be able to just clog the paint.
Exactly.
Like, you got it. Ben Simmons needs a lot of shooting around him, and I think that he'll be fine. People need to quit trying to change his game and just put a team around him where he could be great. Like they did with Giannis. Look how Giannis's game took off. He was already balling, but it took off when they got all that shooting around him. Like with Brooke Lopez and Middleton and all them guys, when they start stroking that three ball, that's when Giannis's assist numbers jumped up to like 7 a game. And all, like, you got to put shooting around guys like that who aren't going to shoot the ball themselves. Like, if they can't shoot, you got to have shooting around them.
Exactly. Instead of trying to change them, like you said, like with Ben Simmons, the only thing that I would like to see him change, which it seems that he has, because even when he played in a bubble, he started to do it, just take more shots. Like, I'm not telling you to be out there gunning it down from three, but you got to open look, take it. Just keep the defense honest. You got an open jumper from midi, take it. Like, it's not.
To me, that's the dead indicator that, like, to me, there's a difference between a guy who can't shoot and a guy who just – it's just not in their game. Like, to me, Lonzo Ball's just not a good shooter. But he'll – you know what I'm saying? Like, so to me, saying that Lonzo needs to hit the three is not changing his game. It's just him, like, he needs to improve as a shooter. Mm-hmm. But when you got a guy like Ben Simmons who – he's standing on the perimeter wide open and won't shoot the ball. Like, now you're trying to change him. Like, that's not his game. That's not what he does. He's not comfortable doing that. That's not what he does. And it's, I feel like if you were to just surround him with the right personnel, Ben Simmons could be – no, he's not LeBron James, but he's a LeBron James-esque type of player. He's going to put up those type of numbers. He's going to get the ball to the right guys. Like, to me – Vision wise, I think Ben Simmons is right there with LeBron. Like the type of shit that he sees and the feel for the game that he has as far as playmaking is next worldly. Like he's up there with the greats to me already as far as feel for the game. But he don't have the right guys around him to be able to put that on display fully. Like somebody need to get a hold of Ben Simmons and get him in the right system. And he gonna be one of the top players in the league. I mean, how could he not? He averaged almost two steals a game. He's a triple double threat. He's a 6'10" point guard. He can handle that bitch like he not just like a 6'10" guy like a Draymond who could just pass well. Like Ben Simmons could cross your ass up and take you to the cup. Like he can score, man. But you just gotta have the right guys around him to where. Teams can't clog the paint up on him because once you clog up the paint on him, he's not going to be able to be as effective. Man, if he played for like the Heat or somebody, wow, tell him.
I don't know. When it comes to me and my thoughts on Ben Simmons, I think he's a phenomenal player. But in today's NBA, man, it's extremely vital that you have a point guard that can shoot the ball. You don't got to be able to shoot lights out. But you have to be respectable from out there. And if he's going to be handling the rock as much as he does, it's always going to make it so much easier for teams to defend whatever team he's on if he can't shoot the ball. It reminds me a lot of Rondo. Rondo was dangerous when he was with Boston early on in his years. But that never changed the fact that teams didn't struggle to defend him for real when it came to him having the ball in his hands. And when he – I don't know. I feel like Ben
– But Ben Simmons, since he's 6'10", he gives you a different luxury of you could play him at the four on defense, and then on offense, you could have a point guard in there that could shoot the ball. Like, you could have a Quinn Cook or, like, a better version of a Quinn Cook who could just shoot the ball and not have to handle that bitch on offense, you know what I'm saying? And then Ben Simmons could just play the four on D, guard the four spot, and on offense, he could just be the play initiator. Like, he doesn't have to necessarily be – in that point guard slot since he's 6'10". You could throw him in the lineup really anywhere, the three, the four. Like, you could throw him in the lineup, and then you could put shooting around him however that comes. And I think Rondo's just – I think that's why the Rondo comparison isn't the same with Ben Simmons, is because Ben don't necessarily have to even play the point guard slot.
Not on D, but on offense, if he's not – if he don't got the ball in his hands – he's damn near useless unless he's in a post. And if he's in a post.
But on offense, you can still have the ball in his hands, but it's still, regardless of what position he playing, I mean, what position the shooters are playing, if you got four shooters out there, it don't matter if one of them's a center, if one of them's a power forward or a point guard or whatever. Not in this NBA. It don't matter. As long as you got shooting on the floor going to be spaced. Like, it's shooters. You can have them. I think they'll be fine. Whoever will be fine as long as you put shooting around Ben. If you don't put shooting around Ben, you're going to hate him. And your fan base is going to hate him. And everybody's going to be mad because he can't score and he can't do this. But really, you just got to keep that paint open for him and he's going to make plays for him and everybody else.
That's true. I feel like it's going to be pretty difficult to put him in a situation where the court is going to be extremely spaced and he be out there with a team that's super competitive. Like you said, with Miami, that would be cool. But then you got to think if him and Big Bam are out there on the court together, Bam not stroking no threes like that.
You wouldn't be able to play him and Bam.
Bam is their nigga. Like, that's their all-star. And so it's going to be hard to, like, place Ben Simmons in a lot of different situations to where not only is the whole team able to shoot or whoever's on the court with him able to shoot, but also competitive enough to defend on the other end too. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, it's going to be difficult to place him somewhere like that.
It's going to take a couple of years. He'll probably have to end up on a team that's already going to be scrapping shit. Like, maybe like the Bulls or the Cavs, somebody who got some young players that can move some guys around. And like, they don't, like, a team that don't have an identity already.
What if he end up in fucking Minnesota?
Man, that would be fire. Right.
Ooh, I like that.
It's some places that can do some things for Ben, but whoever gets them, they got to commit to them. That's the thing. Like, if you get Ben Simmons, you got to want his career to be successful. I don't feel like that was a priority for Philly.
I agree.
Like, yeah, they wanted to be good, but they weren't really concerned with Ben Simmons being a success. They just wanted to be a success as a team.
It's like they didn't know whether they wanted to go in the Ben Simmons direction or the Embiid direction, so they kind of just balanced. I feel like with guys like that, you got to make a decision. If you got a guy like Ben Simmons on your team or a guy like Joel Embiid on your team, you have to build a team around those guys. Those are cornerstone type guys. And if you don't build a team that complements those guys, you're not going to be successful. Simple as that. And I feel like that was their biggest issue. Both of them, like, them guys don't necessarily complement each other very well. So I feel like once you got both of them, you have to make a decision pretty early on. Like, what direction are we going to go in? Either we're going to build our team around Ben or we're going to build our team around Joel. And they just did not do that in enough time for me. But like I said, I think that this is about to happen now.
Yeah, I think that Ben Simmons would have been the right choice to build the team around just because, I mean, even though I think Embiid's the better player.
His skill set is hard to find, man. Ben Simmons.
Nah, not even that. It's just since he got that glaring weakness on offense, I feel like it was more imperative for them to try to mask his weakness with the roster as opposed to, like, Embiid, there's really not really no weakness in his game. He just can't stay healthy. So, yeah, like, he doesn't really need a system to complement him. I feel like Ben Simmons needs a system in place for you to get the most out of him. You can't just throw any players out there with Ben Simmons like that. Like, I don't know. Philly just, they fumbled the ball.
Big time.
It could have worked out. It could have worked with Embiid and Ben Simmons, but they just didn't do the right things.
I don't think so, man, because even when they had – who else did they have down there? They had somebody else down there, another big man down there. And he got Embiid got frustrated because his game started to change. Now he got to take more jump shots as opposed to being a back-to-the-basket type guy, which he can hit it from out there, but we all know Embiid's most effective when he's on that block. And with the roster that they had, it was clogged. Like, he can't do nothing down there. There's no space on the court. So, I don't know. I feel like they definitely got some decisions to make. They got some moves to make. And if they don't do that shit this year, like this offseason, we're going to be looking at Philly take a huge move down because they might fuck around and lose both of them guys if they don't make a decision soon.
And it'll tell you that the NBA just only care about holding on the superstars for real. Because, I mean, You obviously got – it's obviously not going to work with this roster with these guys. I think their best chance was, what, 3 years ago when they had JJ? Was that 3 years ago?
Nah, two.
Two, yeah. That was. I feel like that was their best chance when they had JJ. And what was the dude from the Heat that they had, too? Not Jimmy Butler, the other dude.
You talking about the big man?
Nah, the wing player, man. And they had Covington. The year they had Covington, JJ, and – not James Johnson. What was the other dude, man? Richardson.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about. Josh Richardson.
Was their best chance. Yeah, that was their best chance. And even with that roster, it still just wasn't enough shooting and spacing. So, I don't know. But, yeah, Philly's done. They're done. And Philly, as we know it, is done, I should say.
Yeah. I agree. So let's talk about some other teams in a bubble, man. Who would you say has probably been the most disappointing team in a bubble to you?
I'll have to either go with either the Grizzlies or the Mavericks. I think that both of them have been fairly disappointing. I mean, the Grizzlies, it's not like anybody had high hopes for them anyway, but they came in to the bubble just real flat.
Extremely flat.
Considering how they were playing before, John Morant can't really buy a jumper to save his life right now. That's a killer for them. And then the Mavericks, the way they was playing before coronavirus and everything, for them to, what are they now in the bubble? They like 2-3 or something?
Yeah, something so, like that.
They didn't drop down to like the 4 or 5 seed, I think.
Nah, they're the 7th seed.
See, yeah, that's bad, man. They just say they're not playing good ball either. Luka is playing lights out, but I don't know what happened to the rest of that team. They could score like a mug, though. Them boys could score. But yeah, those probably my two most disappointing teams for real to me so far.
I would say piggyback on Dallas, not too much Memphis because we already knew they were a young team. I knew this break was going to hurt them. And then you double that down with the fact that they lost Jaren Jackson Jr. in injury. So that had a lot to do with it too. But I would definitely say Dallas because, like you said, they're scoring the ball lights out and Luka's looking like Luka. But the rest of the team just does not look like they are there. And they're not going to be very competitive if they continue to play like this. But another team that I'm disappointed in is New Orleans. And that's from top to bottom, honestly. This was a team that definitely had everything waiting for them to steal that eighth spot. And they folded in multiple ways. They just started off coming into the bubble with the wrong agenda. As far as the coaches are concerned, you'd have all of this time, right, where your team has not been on the court. Zion has had plenty of time to rest his body. You decide that you want to come into the bubble and limit his minutes in games that you know are critical. You can't limit minutes right now. You're trying to make the playoffs. First game of
That's what the bubble's all about.
Exactly. The first game of the bubble for them, they had an opportunity to win that game, and it was a very pivotal game. They would have won that game. That would have gave them a lot of ammo moving forward, especially with the Grizzlies dropping as many as they did. They came into that game, Brandon Ingram playing lights out. Lonzo was playing good that game. They were just having an all-around good game. It came down to that fourth quarter. The coach decided to sit Zion for the last 10 minutes of that game, and they lost. Like, they had a lead in that game, and the team eventually walked them down because Zion didn't come back in. And to me, that right there showed the rest of the team where you guys are at as far as trying to make this playoff push. Our best player, our most effective player is on the bench. We're not trying to make an effort at winning this game. So as a player, you automatically think, oh, yeah, shoot, they ain't really trying to make the playoffs, or they ain't trying to put us in no position to make the playoffs. And now you scrambling at the last game of the season, or the last, I guess, meaningful game of the season, which was yesterday, trying to make the playoffs. Yeah, that's not going to happen, especially coming up against a team like the Spurs with Pop. You know Pop know how to win games that are crucial. He's not going to let you come in there and do whatever you want to do. You got to win the games that you know you can win. So to me, I feel like New Orleans came in with they should have just been like, you know what, we're going to opt out. If we're going to rest Zion, we're going to opt out. Simple as that. We're not going to join the bubble. And
yeah, that was pretty stupid.
I just felt like that was dumb. And yeah, I mean, I would probably have to say them more than anybody. Like, yeah, the Mavericks as well, but I mean, it is what it is. They in the playoffs. But I mean, goodness gracious, you got a chance to make the playoffs and this is what you do. Like, it just does not, I don't know, it doesn't look very great to me. But another team that I don't think has been disappointing, but I haven't necessarily been super impressed with, is Boston. And a lot of that can have to do with Kemba. I know that they're trying to get him on track, but they just don't look like that. I mean, coming into this, they were my favorite. Before this stuff happened, they were my favorite to come out the East. It was between them and the Bucks, as far as I'm concerned. And now they just don't look like it no more.
Yeah, the Celtics have, I don't know what's happened to them over these past couple years. It's like, I think that, Brad Stevens is one of those coaches where the more expectations and the better his teams are, the worse he does.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's no expectations and he doesn't have much, he can get the most out. He knows how to get the most out of a bad team, but I don't think he knows how to get the most out of a good one yet. At least he hasn't showed us that he can, because, I mean, when he did what he did when Jason Tatum and them were rookies, that was
– they took Bron and him to the brink.
Yeah, like, he had us thinking that he was the best coach in the game and all this, but really, I think that it just worked out perfect for him because he didn't have a superstar that he had to build his team around or anything. It was more, they were more built like a college roster. And I think that's when he's at his best.
I agree. That just basically goes to show the type of man that he's been in the past. I mean, he was never at a major college for real that was pulling in five stars every year. I mean, he was at Butler, and Butler was pulling in some good guys, but they were pulling in more guys as far as, you know, system guys, guys that's going to be there for a while, not guys that's one and done or guys that got a lot of star power or any of that. So he's probably, like you said, really used to coaching teams who don't necessarily have superstars. Like, he knows how to coach a good, like a well-balanced team, the team that is built together, not necessarily a team that has a star and you have to build around them, or I guess let the offense flow around them and things like that. Like that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about it from that point of view, but that is like nail on the head. Like that's perfect. Like I couldn't define it any other way.
We didn't got to see it a couple times now to where like somebody get hurt for Boston and they go on a big run and end up being a team that nobody's thinking of, and then they get their pieces back and we're like, oh, this Boston team gonna be scary. They got this. They got Brad Stevens coaching, and then they come back and they disappoint us. And then somebody else gets hurt and they go on another run and we like, oh, here they go this time.
Yeah, that's even like what? That was last year, huh, when they shut Kyrie down and then Scary Terry start going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, just stuff like that. Like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I don't know, man. Brad Stevens got to get his stuff together because he's far too good of a coach to have the talent that he has. Or we don't know, obviously, because we're just now seeing him coach talent. But as far as what I've seen him do with less talent, I feel like he should be able to coach this talent that he has and get the best out of them. But that still remains to be seen. So hopefully he can get that together. But let's talk about some teams that have impressed you in the bubble. Who has really stood out to you as far as, dang, like, them boys can really ball? I know you said Toronto, but was there anybody else that's really opened your eyes a little bit in this bubble?
Really, besides Toronto, I haven't really learned anything new about any teams as far as, like, contending-wise or anything. It's been more about players, really.
So who are some of them?
I've been impressed with the Suns.
Just about to say that. Yeah, man.
But I don't think that this is going to be something that, like, next year we're going to be like, oh, nah, now the Suns is somebody we got to watch for, nothing like that. But I have been impressed with them on this little 5-game stretch. Devin Booker been playing lights out basketball right now. I can't wait to see who get that 8th spot between Dame and Devin Booker.
Fuck around, I mean, it might fuck it around and be Pop.
Then are the Spurs in play now?
Yeah,
too?
Bro. It's like a 3-team race right now.
Damn, I ain't know the Spurs was in play.
The Spurs too. Are a half game above Phoenix. So
I personally would like to see Devin Booker get the spot.
Me too.
But if I had to bet on somebody, I'd probably say the Trailblazers, just because, I mean, they've been there before. Dame is – he got that look in his eyes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, if I had to bet on somebody, I'd probably bet on Portland. But I would like to see Devin Booker get his foot in the playoffs for sure. And then I've been impressed with – you know, this is my guy. I couldn't wait for him to start balling, Michael Porter Jr. I've been waiting for him to finally get his chance because I always felt like he was the future of the league, and he's starting to look like he might be ready to fill that void that the Nuggets have been needing on that perimeter for real, because they needed a wing player desperately for years now.
Yeah.
So starting to look like they might have found one.
Man, as far as I'm concerned, it's looking like they might have found two, because –
You talking about Bobo?
Yeah, man. I've always thought that they were a dangerous team, but it was always something missing. And now that Michael Porter Jr. is becoming the guy that we've expected him to be, and Bobo is taking his game to another level, this team is scary. Like, I watched them play the other day when Jamal Murray came back for the first time. Man, the things that I was seeing that team do on the court, I'm like, this team is going to scare some people in this playoff. Like, I'm seeing them match up with the Clippers in the first round, I think. I think that's how far they dropped. How far they dropped?
Yeah, I think they are the 6.
No. I take that back. They would have to see the Clippers in the semis. Or the week before. The semis. Because they're up to the 3 seed now. Denver is. So,
oh, they are?
Yeah.
I knew I saw them on that 3-6 line. I thought they was the 6, though. Damn.
It's whatchamacallit that dropped to the 6. Them and Utah basically flipped spots.
Yeah, okay.
So they would have to see the Clippers in the semis, and that's going to be a hell of a series right there, just for the simple fact that everybody knows the strength of the Clippers is their wings. And this will really, I feel like, give Michael Porter Jr. that step into stardom that we're expecting him to get if he duels it out with Kawhi and Paul George. Like, and the big separation there for me, Jamal Murray is head and shoulders above the point guards that they have on the Clippers, and Jokic is head and shoulders above the guys that they have on the block in L.A. So it's really going to come down to how effective Michael Porter Jr. can be. I don't know. I think it'll go seven, but I still got the Clippers winning that series. But it's definitely going to be a series worth watching. And they're the team that I would say has probably most impressed me throughout this bubble. Like, they're a team that I really enjoy to watch. I've always liked watching them because of Jokic, but now adding in Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray not losing, not skipping a beat, coming back, and Bobo being, I didn't know Bobo could pass as well as he can.
Man, he's a guard.
He can thread the needle out there. I saw him throw a couple of passes, like that full court bounce pass he threw. I said, oh, I didn't know he had that in the bag.
He's got potential to be the scariest thing the NBA has ever seen. I don't know if he'll end up being that, but that potential was through the roof because his skill set and his height do not go together.
Bro, that shit is crazy. Like, I always knew Bobo was nice, but bro, do you remember how crazy we was about Thon a few years ago?
That's what I was about to
Bobo
say.
Bobo is Thon. He's who we thought Thon was going to be.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. He's exactly who we thought Thon Maker was.
That shit is crazy. And I really hope that he stays healthy and that he pans out and just continues to get better, because the sky's the limit for that young guy. I like Bobo a lot. But as far as players, man, the players that have impressed me the most, I'm very proud to say this shit, because when he first came out of college, I was screaming until I was blue in the face trying to tell people he was going to be nice in the league. Gary Trent Jr., he's very slept on as a defender, for one. A lot of people coming out of college, when he was with Duke, he always guarded the best offensive players on the opposite team when he was at Duke. But a lot of people didn't pay attention to that. He's a really good defender. Not only that,
and he was our most consistent shooter that year too.
That's exactly what I was about to say. He had this stretch of games at Duke where he was going crazy from three. And it's just showing that he's really that good of a shooter. Like, since the bubble has rejoined, him and Grayson Allen have been 1-2 in 3-point percentage, which has made me as a Blue Devil fan extremely proud. But even beyond
Grayson
that,
averaging 15.
Grayson looking real good, man. And I knew it was only going to take some time. Like, I think that's a good fit for him down there with a lot of that youth. He doesn't have to do too much out there. And I just, as far as Gary Trent Jr. is concerned, man, I'm extremely happy to see how he's really blossomed. He averaging dub 20-something, shooting 40-something percent from three. Like, he's really going crazy in the bubble. And I don't think that this is just a random act. Like, I think that he's really good enough to do this on a regular basis as far as shooting the ball as well. And you couple him, like I said, he's on a team with Dame and CJ McCollum, so it's not like you asking him to do a whole bunch of shit. He's going to defend because he can do that. And, I mean, he's going to get a lot of open looks because he's playing with guys that can create shots for themselves. So I'm excited to see what he does. But he's been extremely impressive to me just off the strength that, I mean, he's really showing – what I've been saying he's capable of doing all of this time. And I'm just glad that he's finally got there, because I know a lot of players that I really vouched for some strange reason, they'll fuck around and hit this wall and be like, not the nigga that I thought they were. But he's definitely exactly who I thought he was, and he's showing that to be true. But, yeah, I would probably say he's probably one of – him and Bobo are probably two of the guys that I really enjoy watching a lot. Obviously, we touched on T.J. Warren, but – that shit is just – that's crazy what he's doing. But
That's the top four surprise players. Because, I mean, Dame and Devin Booker, they both going crazy, but they're not surprises. We already know what they can do and shit like that. But then you got T.J. Warren, Michael Porter, and then Grayson and
Bobo.
Gary Trent and Bobo. I feel like that's the top four surprises bubble so far, of guys who clearly were taking care of themselves and working on their game over the quarantine.
I agree. So as far as this MVP race is concerned, man, so they just came out with the finalists, and it's Harden, Giannis, and LeBron. Me as a Laker fan and a lot of other people around the nation have been making a case for Anthony Davis as far as being one of those finalists. My take on that, man, I look at it like this. Anthony Davis is leading us in every statistical category except for assists. I mean, you got the number one team in the West. You are leading in every statistical category except for one. And your teammate gets that third slot as far as the MVP finalist is concerned. If the shoe was on the other foot and this was LeBron, do you know how much hell would be raised on SportsCenter and Get Up and Undisputed and First Take and all of these shows? Like, I don't really think that people really understand the importance of Anthony Davis just because of how he's been with the Pelicans for all of these years. Now he's on a contender and he's doing the exact same shit that he was doing for a non-contender. That just goes to show how effective, not only effective he is, but how valuable he is to a team. What's your take on him not being an MVP finalist?
I know why he's not, which I guess he should be a finalist along with LeBron. Neither one of them are win the award.
Agreed.
But I mean, Steph and KD, they were both in the MVP race those years. They were together, but neither one of them really had a chance to win it. So I guess you could have just threw them both in there. I kind of feel like if you are going to throw one in, then it would have to be Anthony Davis over LeBron.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I guess they're looking at it like, I mean, we've never seen LeBron really. Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
It don't make no sense.
It don't make no sense at all. I mean, like I said, neither one of them deserve to win the award by the standard that they set when KD and Steph got together. They say you gonna steal votes from the other one or whatever stupid shit they say. I don't think it make no sense, but whatever. So, I mean, by that standard they set then, I mean, neither one of them deserve the award. But if you're gonna put one of them in, I feel like it has to be the guy leading the team in five statistical categories.
That shit just it really doesn't add up. It baffles me because it's not talked about. Not only is it like everybody sees, damn, Bron, an MVP finalist, 17th year, or however many years he's been in the league. Like, I understand that, but I don't feel like that energy is being put in the right direction. Like, that, it's like Anthony Davis is by far the most valuable player on this team. He's shown it entire season.
It's not even like the Lakers had Anthony Davis first and didn't make the playoffs. Right. Then LeBron came. It was the other way around.
Right.
Now LeBron didn't make the playoffs, got Anthony Davis, and now they're the one seed in the West.
Bro, like, it's if you really put the shoe on the other foot, like, niggas will be making a case for LeBron to win this shit, not just to be a finalist, to win it all. Like, nah, them niggas ain't even make the playoffs without Bron. They get Bron, and they the number one seed. Bron doing this, Bron. Like, bro, like, that, it really don't make sense to me at all. Like, I sat down and really looked at everything, and I'm like, bro, am I tripping? Like, because I've really been saying it for a while, like, Anthony Davis for MVP. And now that I'm really sitting down and looking at this shit, I'm like, what do they see? Like, I would really want them to tell me, what do y'all see from LeBron James that is showing y'all that he's more valuable as far as being in this race than Anthony Davis? I would really want somebody to tell me that because I haven't seen it. It just don't make no sense to me. I mean, either way, it's a Laker in there, so I'm not complaining, but come on now. Like, I feel like maybe it might be a little biased as far as I'm concerned because Anthony Davis is one of my favorite players in the NBA. He has been for some years. But come on now. Like, it's certain shit that you just can't overlook. Like, this man has been going crazy for the best team in the West, and he ain't getting, like, most they talking about is defensive player of the year, which rightfully so, I can see that. But come on, man. This guy really got to be in the MVP race. That just don't make sense to me. All right, man. So before we get out of here, let's talk about Dame Dolla. I've seen a whole bunch of stuff going on, man. all throughout social media and just a lot of stuff that I haven't been able to wrap my head around where any of this is coming from. I mean, I understand that people are infatuated with Dame right now, but it's starting to get disrespectful now. I've been seeing a lot of comparisons between Damian Lillard, a guy who hasn't even sniffed NBA Finals appearance, hasn't sniffed the MVP, any of that. They're comparing him to a 3-time NBA champion, 2-time MVP, and Steph Curry. What's, I already know where you stand at, but I just need you to go ahead and make it known for the people out there, because it seems that people have forgotten who Wardell Stephen Curry really is. So let's dive into it, man. What's your thoughts about everybody comparing Dame to Steph?
Man, I wish we could have one of those people on, because I just really want to just have a conversation face to face. Like, I don't know Facebook stuff. I really want to just see, like, it has to just be the fact that you only get to see Dame play 6 or 7 times a year, and he puts on those 6 or 7 times that you get to watch him. So now you feel like that's what he do on the regular, just like that's what Steph do. That's the only thing I could think of, because when you watch it, it does look really similar to what Steph Curry, especially when Dame gets it going, like where he's pulling up from deep and stuff. It looks like Steph, and like for a game, he can be a Steph Curry. But like, that's the thing that sets Steph apart, is the fact that he does that shit consistently. Like, that's what makes him Steph Curry. He does what you see Dame do all the time, which is why he's a career 44% 3-point shooter.
That's crazy.
Dame Lillard is having a career year this year from the field. He's shooting 45% from the field. Steph's career year from three is 45%.
That's crazy.
Like, come on, man. Like, it's like, it's just really pure disrespectful to even really try to make any comparison with any guard to Steph Curry. Like, there's nobody. There's no comparison to that guy. Like, that's my thing. Like, I'm a Dame Lillard fan. I love watching Dame play, man. Like, he's the type of guards I like to play. I mean, I like to watch. Like, that's the type of basketball I like to watch. But I'm not about to sit around and let people act like he's in the class with Steph Curry. Like, he's not even close, bro. Like, when you really slice it, he's not even close. He hasn't even came close to shooting 50% from the field. Like I said, his career high from the field was this year, 45% from the field.
Steph's from three.
Yeah, that's Steph's career high from three. And that year he shot 45% from three. He also shot 50% from the field. Like, it's like, what are we talking about here? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, people want to act like Steph only won a championship with
KD.
They forget the fact that he went to back-to-back finals before KD even came, bro. Like, he won 73 games in a season. Like, what are we talking about here? I don't understand it, bro. Like, I really don't. And everybody want to be like, oh, well, what's the difference if they would have switched teams? Efficiency. That's still, it's always going to be the difference.
Wherever
Steph goes, that team's going to be at least 3 times better, just off the simple fact that Steph's even on the court. He hasn't even touched the ball yet, and he already got you running around crazy because you know you can't let him touch it. Like, it's just a difference. And only, like I said, the only logical explanation I could come up with is the fact that Dame's game looks similar to Steph. And you only get to see him a couple times a year. And those couple times a year that you see him, he plays like Steph. So that's what you think he do on the regular. But once you look at the numbers, bro, like I said, it's not even close. And we don't even have to mention the accolades, like the MVPs and shit. You don't even have to mention that. Like, the numbers just, I mean, come on. Steph, he's a 47% from the field for his career.
So here's my stance on it, man. Anybody who knows the game of basketball and has really sat down and watched Steph Curry play, you know that Steph Curry is most dangerous when the ball's not in his hands. I don't, like, I understand how some people like to look at Dame and say he looks Steph Curry-ish just because he pulls up from deep, how Steph can when he wants to. But their games aren't even similar to me. When I look at Damian Lillard reminds me of a more efficient Kyrie Irving. They play more similar than what Steph Curry does as far as comparison to the two players. Steph does a lot of shit without the ball that Dame needs the ball to do. Steph is one of those guys that his basketball IQ, that's not to say Dame's isn't, because Dame's IQ is extremely high. But Steph's is otherworldly when it comes to not having the ball. Running off screens and making his teammates better, and the things that he does without scoring is what really makes him as effective as he is. You can do whatever you want to game plan against Steph Curry. There's nothing that you can really do but hope that he's having a bad night shooting. And even when he's doing that, he's still effective in other ways. He's rebounding the ball. He's creating baskets for other players. Like, Steph is just so much more valuable than a Dame Lillard is. So when it comes to people talking about, okay, well, flip-flop their teams, there's going to be a completely different scenario going on in Golden State and a completely different scenario going on in Portland just because of what Steph Curry does for other players on the team. And you put a guy like Damian Lillard with guys like Klay and with guys like KD, those guys don't become as valuable as they are with a Steph Curry.
But you don't even get KD, because KD would have never came to play with Dame.
That wouldn't have, it wouldn't have worked.
Exactly, because they had to get the two finals even to make KD even look for it.
Exactly.
To even look at Golden State. That's the only reason KD wanted to come to Golden State, is because he wanted to come to play with Steph Curry. So if you fuck around, and then KD would have fucked around and went to Portland.
Exactly.
You can't have the scenario both ways. You can't flip-flop the teams. Oh, but now let's wait till after KD got there to flip-flop the teams. Like, no.
Like, if he really wanted to play with Dame, he would have went to go play with Dame.
Exactly, bro. That, like, I don't understand it, bro. Like I said, maybe it's absence since Steph gone. People forgot. But I don't know. I don't get it, bro.
And that's the thing for me, man. That's what I was really hoping this year. Like, we said it before this season even started. You and I both was like, people really going to open their eyes now to see who Steph Curry really is. Like, he had them years with KD, and it seems like people forgot who he was. And now it seems to be even more, I guess, prevalent that people have forgotten that Steph Curry is Steph Curry because, I mean, his injuries from this year. So, I mean, I cannot wait to when Steph Curry gets back on that court and really shows people who he is. I mean, I really can't think of a point guard in the NBA that you could compare to Steph Curry. Like, it, as far as the point guards that are in the NBA right now, Steph Curry is head and shoulders above those guys. I don't really think that there's anybody that you can compare him to.
In league history, there's nobody you can compare him to. And it's the efficiency. Nobody has done this volume at this level of efficiency before. It's just it's never happened. And that's why there's no comparison. He's in a category
of his own, man.
I seen this stat today when I was looking up stats. It had like this little fun fact on the bottom. It was like Steph Curry. It was only it's only two people to average 30 and have a true shooting percentage of 65%, bro.
That's crazy. I mean,
and Curry one of them.
Who was the other guy?
2015. I think it was KD.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I was assuming it was going to be somebody like that. But it's just, I mean, we've never seen somebody shoot as well as he does and be as efficient as he is. Like, he has this weird combination of, okay, so let's take the best shooters of all time. You take the best shooters of all time, as far as their averages scoring the ball, you don't see anybody even remotely close to Steph Curry in that aspect. And then you throw in the fact that their efficiency isn't even close to his either. It's different, man. It's just or different.
If the efficiency is close to
they averaging double digits less than he is, like a Steve Nash.
Steve Nash ain't shoot 10 threes per game, though. I think he shot like six. That's what I'm saying. Steph, for his career, he's shooting like 9.8 three-pointers per game. That's
crazy.
So basically 10. And he's hitting 4.4 of those per game.
I'm trying to think of other guys like guys who are 50, 40, 90. And like I said, Steve Nash was that, but fucking average, what, 10 points a game? Steph's averaging damn near 25, close to 30 points in seasons and going crazy.
His 50, 40, 90 year, he averaged a 30.
Bro, like, what the fuck? Like, it's really not even, it's not even comparable when you talk about other guards and Steph Curry. But before we get out of here, man, there is one person that I have really wanted to touch on. And it slipped my mind when I was going through all of the topics that we had. But I've definitely got to touch on what the fuck Chris Paul is doing down there in Oklahoma City, man.
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy who they were basically saying the reason why the Rockets ain't having no success is because of Chris Paul. Chris Paul is the reason why they not doing this. Chris Paul is the reason why they not doing that. So we gonna go out and get Russell Westbrook, and we're gonna see what's going on with that. Currently, right now, Chris Paul has the Oklahoma City Thunder with a whole bunch of guys. I guarantee that the typical basketball fan can't name five people on their roster as far as the Thunder are concerned, and he has them one game behind the old Houston Rockets that he just left. Chris Paul has those guys sitting at the fifth seed right now in the West. And me and you talked about it on social media. There hasn't been a guy that we've seen probably in years that's able to do what he's able to do with talent around him like Chris Paul.
It's only one.
It's just
LeBron. He's the only other person.
Yeah.
I feel like if Chris Paul was 6'9", he'd have the same effect on the game as LeBron James.
Agreed. And, I mean, let's just keep it a buck. I mean, he's up in age. He's a guy that they pretty much wrote off after him leaving Houston. Like, oh, he's just about to go down there. Like, somebody commented on my post and said they sent him down to Oklahoma City to rot. And he fucking around and took that team to a place where Russell Westbrook couldn't take them, even when he had, like, Paul George and much better supporting cast in years before that with him and Oladipo and all that stuff. Like, they were barely sniffing the playoffs. And Chris Paul got them boys almost top in the conference. Like, they're top five team in the West. Like, that's not something that just should be glossed over. He's doing a lot with a little. I will say that Gilgeous Alexander is really coming into his guy.
Like, yeah, but he's coming into his own.
Because of – exactly. You play with a guy like Chris Paul, it's really going – it's just the way that man approaches the game, man. I've Chris always Paul, said throughout how I felt about Chris Paul, throughout his career, I know a lot of people try to down him because he ain't been out of certain rounds in the playoffs and all of this stuff. But one thing you can never – say about Chris Paul is that he has not shown up. Like, yeah, it might have been, situations where his team didn't get the win, but Chris Paul has always been there. He's always gotten the best out of certain guys around him. And he's just, man, let's just call it what it is, man. Chris Paul is one of the greatest point guards we've ever seen. And he doesn't get treated like it.
He's easily at least the second highest IQ in basketball, if not higher. It's LeBron James and Chris Paul. They might be tied. Like, and that's the thing that sets Chris Paul apart. Like, if you just watch him play, he always makes the right play.
Every time.
Like, every single time he makes the right play. No matter if that's shooting a floater or being patient, waiting on the cutter or kicking it out to the shooter or shooting it himself. Like, he makes the right play 9 times out of 10. That's why he has a career 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't turn it over, and he just makes the right play. And then he's scrappy. I mean, some people might call him dirty. I mean, I might agree with you. But, I mean, that still don't change the fact that as far as a floor general, he's the gold standard. Like, there's no – it doesn't come any better as a floor general than Chris Paul. Like, I'm not sure that there has been one ever. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to say Magic, but yeah. I don't know. And I can't say that I've seen enough of Magic to know. Obviously, he had a high basketball IQ, but we talking about, like, when we judging two guys like that, it's hard to tell who had the higher IQ without actually being able to watch full Magic Johnson games. Like, I don't know that Magic Johnson made the right play every time he came off a pick and roll. I don't know that. All I see is Magic highlights, so I don't know.
I've watched a lot of Magic games, and I will say that Magic – Chris Paul is Magic-like. And the reason that I would have to separate Chris Paul slightly from Magic and giving him the edge is the fact that we've never seen Magic play with guys who don't have talent. Magic's whole career, he's played with somebody else on his team that was a stud. Like, period. Like, since he came in the league, his first year as a rookie. I mean, he was playing with Kareem in the first trip to the finals, and Kareem got hurt. He had to play center, but I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like, he's always played with somebody else on his team that was a Hall of Famer. Chris Paul's in situations, been in his situations throughout his whole career where he hasn't been playing with guys who are up to his level of talent. And he still, like you said, still always makes the best play out there. He still always makes his team that much better. And he's just a different type of ball player, man. You don't see guys like Chris Paul. And I really, as far as our generation is concerned, like you said on the post, if you've ever played point guard, you know how hard it is to do what Chris Paul's doing. And you and I have both played the position, so I think that's why we appreciate him the way that we do. But I don't feel like our generation really appreciates Chris Paul just for the simple fact that everybody likes those flashy Dame Lillard-type guards, which that's not a knock because I love Dame too. But as a point guard myself, I would much rather – I prefer to watch Chris Paul than I do Dame. Because I see the game from a point guard's mindset, and it's just like, damn, I know exactly what he was thinking right there. That's really crazy. Like, that's a hell of a pass. That's the same pass I would have tried to make, but probably not would have been able to make it because of who he is. Like, I just really don't think that our generation appreciates Chris Paul for what he is just because of his postseason blunders. And I mean, as a Laker fan, a Kobe fan, I'm going to tell you like this, man. When he was down in New Orleans with the Hornets, Chris Paul gave us fits every year we saw them in playoffs. And they didn't have nobody. Exactly. They didn't have nobody but him and David West.
He had David West, an all-star and everything.
Facts. Man. Facts. Like that. He's really that type of guy. But, yeah, man, I just wanted to touch on that before we got up out of here. But our last topic, man, how likely do you think that it is for other leagues to actually have a season as far as, like, we see the NFL trying to gear up for a season. We see college football trying to gear up for a season, and it's not looking too likely. What's your take? What do you think that anybody is going to be able to have a season? We obviously seen that the MLB has tried to have a season as well, and their season hasn't really gone as planned. So, how do you feel? Do you think that these other leagues will be able to have a season, and I guess continue and be able to play throughout the duration of the season?
Nah, I think it's over, man. I don't see it happen. I think that once again the NBA proves that they're just the superior pro league. I mean, for them to come up with the bubble, and it's still been zero cases in the bubble, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you got to tip your hat to them guys over there at the what they doing. Like you said, the MLB has tried and been an epic fail. So I don't even think that the NFL or college football even gets a chance. I seen something yesterday that said that all the Power 5 ADs are basically saying there's no way there's going to be any fall sports. So
yeah, I saw that too.
I think it's over. Maybe we might get college basketball. If they could do something similar, maybe we could just – major sports probably over because they're not going to have the money to be able to do
what needs to be done to
keep
that shit. So it's probably over, but maybe we might get college basketball Power Five.
I don't know, man. I think, like you said, the NBA basically set the standard, man. And the best way to combat all of this stuff going on is to create a bubble. And the NBA has the, I will say, probably they're in the most ideal situation because they have a controlled number amount of teams and a controlled number amount of athletes. NBA has, what, 28 teams? So it's not like it's a whole bunch of people. NFL, you got 32 teams in the NFL. Each NFL team has 50-plus players. Then you got the whole personnel. You got everybody that you have to account for. There's not a place in the world big enough to tie all of those people into one bubble and be able to have a competitive season. Like, it's just not going to work that way. It's way too many people. And that's the biggest thing. I thought that college sports may have a better chance just for the simple fact that they are in somewhat of a controlled environment, being on campus. But then, I mean, you got to think, like, you got to travel to go play the games. So you don't know what's going to happen within the passage to travel. You don't know what happened. Like, you could fuck around and get to a city, and as soon as you hit the city, one of the baggage handlers fucked around and got COVID. So now somebody on your team got COVID, and it's going to be passed around. Like, I feel like the bubble is perfect. Like, that's exactly how it should be. And I don't think anybody else has the right amount of people to be able to do that, as far as the personnel on your team and the right amount of teams, because there's too many. Like, even if we're just doing Power Five, like, if you just play your conference games, that's what, about at least 12 teams, and 12 of those teams gonna have 50 people. Like, that's 1,200 people.
Maybe they could set up a TBT style tournament or something.
But like, then you gotta figure out how you gonna get there.
Basketball teams or top 16.
How do you know who the top 32 teams is going to be? Because it's a lot of teams out there that might not be. And I feel like that's where it's going to go south.
You just got to pick.
If you pick the, you know how it's always that one team that fucking around end up not ranked all year, then come the end of the season, they were a 2 or 3 seed or a 1 seed or some shit like that. Like,
do the rankings from last year. That would be the most fair way to do it. I know that ain't they're going to want their chicken. You could pick, do like 20-some teams, do a little 5 or 6 games.
I don't know, so, man. I think that should be hard, because even if you pick the people from last year, you got to think it's a lot of people that lost a lot. And then that's going to take into a whole bunch of different recruits and shit. People going to be flipping They try and go to a different school just because they know they're gonna get a chance to play.
Teams
don't even think that their team's gonna get a chance to play, a whole bunch of people gonna opt out and start going even to the G League or overseas or shit like that. Like, I don't know, man. I can't see any possible way of any of these sports happening. I think NFL is definitely ruled out, which I'm pissed about, because I really felt like this was going to be the year for my Cowboys, and then this fucking shit happens. But yeah, I just think I personally think that it's going to be more difficult for the NFL to do it than anybody else, just because of these grown ass men that go out every day. Like, if you can't limit where they go to, then it's pretty much set up for failure. So I don't know, man. I'm really hoping that we can fucking get some football, because I don't know what I'm going to do if we get this whole fall with no football, bro. Like, I'm going to go insane in a crib. But yeah, man, I hope that something works out, and I don't know. I have no idea what's going to need to happen in order for it to happen. I just hope that it happens, but yeah, man, that pretty much does it for the episode. Was there anything else you wanted to say before we got up out of here? I think he was about to say that shit.
Yeah, man, put some respect on Steph's name.
I think he was about to say that shit.
Period. Like, stop playing with my guy.
Yeah, Stop I feel it 100%. But yeah, man. Signing out. It's your boy Ish. We out.
And it's Sam, man.